Just to give you all a little introduction on how the work started here in Bangalore. On the 17th of August, 1975, which is more than 43 years ago. But the preparation for that was 6 months to a year before that, when some of us who had a sense of need in our life began to seek the Lord in prayer and fasting. Brother Ian Robson was and I were ministering in a church, and we were both very needy people. You know, you can preach and be very much in need and not let any people know that you're in need. But we began to seek the Lord with prayer, occasional fasting. Not for anything, not to start a church. We were just fed up with our own lives. That is why I tell people, if you want to join our church, condition number one is you must be fed up with your own defeated life. Not because you're fed up with some church, you're fed up with your own defeated life. We were fed up not with any church. We were fed up with our own defeated life, and therefore we began to seek God. And in the sovereignty of God, we did not know. As we look back, we can see how God worked. But at the moment when God called us together, we just did not know what the future had for us. We were both extremely poor financially, and we were struggling. He used to ride a bicycle and I had a scooter from my naval days, and we both sort of struggled along. It was good. It was good that we were not rich and we didn't have any rich backers. But when God calls people and He's behind something, amazing things can happen. And we never knew then what God would do in the coming days. But I think, you know how Ian, if you know him, is very different from me. Almost exact opposite in our temperament, gift, everything. But that is how God calls. I want you to turn with me to Acts of the Apostles chapter 13. Acts of the Apostles chapter 13, verse 2. While they were ministering to the Lord and fasting, the first great movement that started churches in the first century came through people worshiping the Lord and fasting, ministering to the Lord and fasting. And that's what we did. And while they were fasting, the Holy Spirit said, "Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them." And there were other people there to pray for them. For us, there was nobody. But the same Holy Spirit said 2,000 years later, "Set apart for me, Ian and Zach, for the work to which I have called them." He said, "Okay." And I'm sure, like us, Barnabas and Paul also were pretty poor. They didn't have any rich financial backers. You know, Barnabas, that was not his name, by the way. I don't know if all of you know that. His name was Joseph. You read that in the last verses of Acts 4. But he had such a ministry of encouraging everybody he met. The apostles said, "We got to change his name. We must change his name from Joseph to Son of Encouragement, Barnabas." And that's exactly what Ian was. An encourager. Everybody who's gone to him through all these years knows that. And everybody knew that even then, 43 years ago. I was different, as all of you know. I was like Paul, as you read in verse 9 and 10. When somebody opposed him, Saul turned round to him and said, verse 10, "You full of all deceit and fraud, you son of the devil, you enemy of all righteousness, won't you cease to make crooked the straight ways of the Lord?" That's how I speak, and you all know that. So you can see that he and I were very different, like Barnabas and Paul were different. It's amazing, God called them. And both these ministries were needed to build the church. It's not just one. We need people who will speak like Paul. We need people who will encourage like Barnabas. And through the years, we've seen that the one big difference, good difference, is that Barnabas and Paul fell apart after 2 years. Ian and I have not fallen apart, even after 43 years. Let's praise the Lord for that. I didn't tell anybody to clap, but that is absolutely right. That's the right thing to do. Because it's a glory to God, what he has done. It's not that Ian says, yes, sir, to me. He never says that. If you know the number of times he and I have disagreed, but lovingly, that shows that we are our own individual, we have our own individual convictions, but we are united in the Lord. You see, a husband and wife don't have to keep on agreeing on everything to be one. I say if a wife agrees with her husband in everything, then the husband must definitely be a dictator. And if one elder agrees 100% with another elder, the other elder must be a dictator. He and I have not agreed, but we have, I'll tell you something, in all these 43 years, there is not one single day when we could not talk to each other lovingly face to face. That never had changed. So our disagreements were in love, and that disagreements helped build the church. And it's an example to all elders here. This is how the Lord worked here, and this is if the Lord is, if you see the Lord has done something from here and to other places, it is because of this initial foundation God has laid here through this dear brother whom I value very highly. And whenever I go away, I'm perfectly at rest because I know Ian is here. And I go like an arm of the church here. And behind me there's a body. People may only see the arm or the tongue, but behind it there's a body. And I praise God for that, how this church under the leadership of Ian has prayerfully supported me through all these years. So we'll listen to Brother Ian today.
I feel terribly humbled. I don't deserve what I've received in 43 years. I don't deserve having met somebody like Brother Zach nearly 50 years ago. And I'll never forget very clearly as I look back, so disillusioned as a full-time Christian worker, disillusioned in the very first month that I left my job on the railways to serve the Lord, and I wondered whether I'd made a mistake. And I saw how it was each one seeking his own. And I said, Lord, this is not what I vouched for. But I stuck on. And thank God that God gave me an education. I received the baptism in the Holy Spirit the very first few months of my conversion in a Brethren Come Baptist church. But I closed up in unbelief for 7 years. In that time I had met Brother Zach twice. Once in Secunderabad where we lived. I just married. And after that I joined. We just wanted to get away. I told my wife we had one child, and I said, let's quit full-time Christian work. Just get away and study God's word. See what God will have us to do. And for the second time, I'm thankful that I didn't join a Bible college, but it's a Bible study center where Brother Zach taught the scriptures. And I was so blessed. All the other sessions were so boring. We were forced to evangelize and all the rest of it. But you look forward to the times when he shared the word. And then God put us together in a Baptist church. And that was the beginning of something that I really looked for. Not the Baptist church. Again, we came into great need there. It was about 6 months, 8 months before that, before August 2017. At a young people's camp, we came into great need. We threw up our hands and said, Lord, the problem is not with these young people, the problem is with us. And we sought the Lord and began seeking the Lord independent of each other. We used to meet, sometimes fast and pray, till the Lord met with us individually, amazingly, separately with Brother Zach and then with me. And what happened then is not just, we didn't even have a thought of thinking of starting another church, another group. We just wanted to do God's will. We wanted to be in the center of God's will. I remember that day when people came to us and said, what do we do? We said, you don't have to leave. You continue going there. They said, how can we? They went to tear down everything that we have been taught and experienced here. And that 17th of August 9, 2017, that evening was such a powerful prayer meeting. It's so clear, so vivid in my mind. God spoke so powerfully to us. And that was the beginning of CFC. It was not a bright idea that was born of the Spirit. A few months earlier to that, we came into that experience that Saul encountered on the road to Damascus where the scales fell from our eyes, and I can say that. It did 50 years ago, but I closed up in unbelief. But that day, in the Baptist church, where I acknowledged my need, I said, Lord, I don't care if this church throws me out. I was being supported by the church. We just had the roof over our heads. Even that also, people wanted to take from us. But when we get revelation, what we heard this morning, that's what we heard from Brother Zach this morning was exactly what has been on my heart to share with you. It's no coincidence, because it was revelation that changed the whole course of my life. A revelation of Jesus. And I thank God for that. That's what sustained me. People, I met somebody who doesn't belong to us. He says, I've heard you, I've heard Zach. How do you all get along? How long have you been working together? I said, 43 years. 43 years, I've never heard of even Paul and Barnabas split. I said, yeah, but we can learn. I was saying this the other day to my family members. I said, we can learn from the incident of Paul and Barnabas. Do we have to split? I was saying to one of my family members, I feel Barnabas should have said, recognize the grace that God had given Paul and said, Paul, I'll go with you. Leave John Mark, that was his cousin, and continued. We don't hear of Barnabas after that. Many, many other times, we have had sharp disagreements. And we work together. I have brothers with me, Brother Charles and Stephen. We work together. We disagree. But nothing can break fellowship. Many other times I've been tempted, what do I do? Should I remain? But I believe what Jesus said, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abides alone. And the Lord said, die. That's the secret of my fellowship and relationship with Brother Zach, with my brothers here, and with many other wonderful brothers in CFC. I was so blessed by the message that Santosh spoke recently in RLCF. So blessed, because that's been my life. Except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abides alone. Many people are lonely because they don't want to fall into the ground and die. But I decided that when God put us together, and God said to me, At one time, I don't remember when it was, but right in the very beginning, I think before CFC started, or maybe just when CFC, the Lord said, I still remember very clearly, the Lord said, here's a man that you've been looking for, that you can submit to. And I thank God for that. I'm not sorry. I have no regrets. I was disappointed, disillusioned with a lot of... I worked with many others, wonderful brothers, but I saw they sought their own. And God put me together with Brother Zach and told me, here is somebody that you can submit to. This is what I was looking for. Someone, God had never called me to start a church or lead a church anywhere, but just to be under authority. And that's what I chose, to be under authority. And I've been saying to many of us here in CFC, you don't know. Many people fear submission. They think it's slavery. It's being, you know, being a servant. Yes, ma'am. Yes, sir. No, sir. It's not that. Wives fear that word, you know, be submissive to your husbands. We heard this morning, husbands, be submissive to your wives. Oh, how many husbands flinched at hearing that? I have to submit to my wife? If I understand submission in its right sense, according to the Holy Spirit, submission is power. And when I reject submitting to the one God has given me to be under authority, I am rejecting the power that God wants to give me in my life. And so, that is what I was saying. I've said this to Brother Zach. It could have been different with Barnabas and Saul. That's how I see it. And we could have, there would have been perhaps a greater work done through both of them. But I thank God and I believe that God will continue to give us that grace, not only with Brother Zach, but with my brothers. That if I am willing to fall into the ground and die, there's no question of breaking fellowship with each other. And that's why I'm thinking of what we heard this morning. I said it's not coincidence that God said these things through Brother Zach, and something he spoke into my own heart, because I believe what we heard this morning, and as we have entered a second generation and a third generation growing up with us, it is so, so important. It has been burned into my spirit to share what I believe is the need for us as the church has grown in many places. If we are not going to become a congregation, if we are not going to end up as a club, but really be the church, I believe 1 Corinthians 2. If we meditate on it and really seek what the Holy Spirit says there, to hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches. I still hear. For 43 years I've heard. And Revelation has changed my life and has always led me higher and higher. You'll never backslide. If I'm continuing getting revelation on God and His ways, getting revelation on God and His Word, getting revelation on myself, I will not backslide. And my life will not be dry. It will always be fresh. And so Paul says here, go back there, the 1 Corinthians 2. And he says there, when I came to you, brethren, I did not come with superiority of speech or of wisdom, proclaiming to you the testimony of God, for I determined to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. I was with you, and that's the message of the church. Not the physical crucifixion, it's more than that. That's the message we have preached for 43 years, Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And if I am to follow Jesus, if I am to be available for the Lord to use me to build His church, I must be willing to fall into the ground and die. I must be willing to take up my cross and deny myself daily and follow after Jesus. So Paul says, I don't want to know anything else among you. These are very intelligent people, the Corinthians. He said, I determined to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And I thank God, that's the message I've heard for 43 years. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. Every time I speak, like what Brother Zach was saying, and even this evening, I never felt more weak and never trembled so much to get up here and I am comfortable speaking to people and counseling people in one-on-one and with families. But I find it till today, every time, I share this with my brothers also. I told Brother Charles, it's nothing new what you feel. Every time I get up to speak, it is in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And that's how it must be, brothers and sisters. And my message and my preaching were not in persuasive words of wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. And this is it. So that your faith should not rest on the wisdom of men, but on the power of God. And yet we do speak wisdom, he says, among those who are mature. A wisdom, however, not of this age, nor the rulers of this age who are passing away. But we speak God's wisdom in a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God predestined before the ages to our glory. And it says in the Message Bible, I like what it says there, it's not the latest message, but more like the oldest, like we heard this morning. Stand by the ways and ask, seek for the ancient parts. And what is that, what is said here? The Message Bible paraphrase says, what God determined as the way to bring out His best, not our best. I want you to notice that. What God determined as a way to bring out His best in us long before we arrived on the scene. The experts of our day haven't a clue about what this eternal plan is. If they did, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. And what we heard, that God, it says, eye has not seen and ear has not heard, nor has it entered the heart of man, all that God has prepared for those who love Him. And I was just picturing that, and when I looked at that theme there, I was thinking of a huge mansion covering acres of land, you know. And with this theme there, all that God has prepared for those who love Him, with a locked door. And there's a notice there, the key is with the owner. And that's what it says, to us, God revealed them through the Spirit. And that's what happened 43 years, not just then, but all through the years. To us, God revealed them through the Spirit. And for the Spirit searches all things, even the depths of God. Now we have received not the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, so that we may know the things freely given to us by God. That is God's will. And this key is the immersion, the baptism in the Holy Spirit. Not a once and for all, not just at one date that we think about, not, you know, 2017, but all through. That's how it must be. I have this key in my hand. I can open the main door. And I go in and I see a whole lot of other doors, all locked. And I can see the door, all that God has prepared. See a door about my speech. You know, I've been challenged and I've been really asking God, I want it to be like Psalm 45 says, that grace flows from my lips. I want my speech to be gracious. I have the key. I can open that door. God has planned that my speech becomes gracious. His plan that He gives me not just new eyes, but new ears and new tongue. Not that I speak in tongues, but my mother tongue can be coated with grace. That's what I've been asking God for. I want to speak in my mother tongue with grace. I speak in tongues, I praise God. But I want to learn to speak in my mother tongue with grace to my wife, to my family members, and to my brothers and sisters. I have the key. I can open that door. My conduct, my attitude, those are all rooms. A lock, but the same key can open each one of those doors. That's what came very powerfully to me. The Lord says, this is all I planned and prepared for you. You have the key. Use it. Open each door. Some of us have opened some doors, but there are a lot of doors still that are locked that we need to open and enter into all that God has prepared for us who love Him. Jesus said in John chapter 14, You can look at it and read it to you from the Living Bible, verses 21 to 23. So the one who obeys me is the one who loves me. And because he loves me, my Father will love him, and I will too. And I will reveal myself to him. Judas, not Judas Iscariot, but his other disciple with that name, said to him, "So, O Lord, why are you going to reveal yourself only to us disciples and not to the world at large?" Jesus replied, "Because I will only reveal myself to those who love me and obey me. The Father will love them too, and we will come, listen to this, we will come to them and live, make our home with them." That's a word that's blessed my heart. This is what God has prepared, because I love him. If I obey him, it means I love him. If I love him, I will obey him. And God says, we will come to them and live. We'll make our home with them. Just imagine, my brothers and sisters, this is not something unreal. This is what God has prepared. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit coming and making our home within us, within our bodies. I thank God. God opened my eyes to see that. And that is why I believe that what we need is revelation. It's possible to understand and listen to New Covenant truths, but still have impaired vision, that we don't see clearly. It's possible to listen to all the powerful messages that we hear and have heard in CFC all the years, but they will never drop the scales from our eyes. It's only the Holy Spirit. It's only when I seek God, and when I say, even in our church in Bangalore, I make it a point never just to ask people, "Are you born again? Have you repented of your sins?" I make it a point that everyone I speak to, "Have you received the baptism of the Holy Spirit?" Paul asked those disciples in Ephesus, "Have you received the Spirit since you believed?" I want to ask us, my dear brothers and sisters, all of us sitting here, have you received the Spirit since you believed? If you haven't, you have spiritual cataract, whether you know it or not. You know what physical cataract is. I had it. Everything is hazy. There was a moment I had the cataract removed. I had a new pair of eyes. I could see everything clearly. I could drive clearly. I could read small print without specs. That's what happens when the Holy Spirit comes upon us. He takes away the spiritual cataract. The scales, that's what happened to Saul. The scales dropped from his eyes when Ananias came and he was praying. And God sent Ananias and said, "He's praying there. You go and pray for him." And Ananias came to him and said, "Brother Saul, God has sent me that to pray for you that you will receive the baptism of the Holy, that you'll be baptized in the Holy Spirit." And scales from his eyes fell from his eyes. And we see that with the Apostle Paul. Right from the beginning, it was not just the Damascus Road, all through his life, it was one of revelation. You know, it says there in Galatians chapter 1, you can turn to 11 and 12, he said, "Have you no brethren? The gospel which was preached by me is not according to man, for I neither received it from man nor was I taught it, but I received it through a revelation of Jesus Christ." And 15 and 16, "But when God who has set me apart even from my mother's womb and called me through his grace was pleased to reveal his son in me so that I might preach him among the Gentiles, I did not immediately consult with flesh and blood." God was pleased to reveal his son in me. Galatians in chapter 2, verse 2, he says, 14 years later, he went up to Jerusalem and it was because of a revelation. And this has challenged me that that's how my life should be. I must be getting revelation. I should not just get up to speak a word if I have not got revelation. And that revelation doesn't come from my life. It's not just understanding something, but that has affected my life. Then I can speak it. And that's how it must be in our lives, my brothers and sisters. And what we heard this morning from 2 Corinthians and chapter 3, that's a word, a very blessed word for me, that I go back again and again because of this one word there, whenever. We heard it this morning, whenever. It says there, speaking about those under the old covenant, their minds were hardened until this very day at the reading of the old covenant. The same veil remains unlifted because it is removed in Christ. But to this day, whenever Moses is read, a veil lies over their heart. But whenever, just stop for a moment there. Not, I look back 2017 or look back a few months. Whenever, it says there, whenever a person turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. So I need my eyesight to get clearer all the time. There are things I don't see. I must acknowledge that. Jesus said that to people who thought they saw. He said, because you think you see, your sin remains. For judgment I came into this world, that those who see may become blind, and those who are blind can see. So I have to recognize that there are blind spots. I need to see. So here's the answer, my brothers and sisters. This is something that has blessed my heart. Whenever a person turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. And we heard the Lord is the Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. The freedom from all bondage. And that's what I can testify to. God being my witness that in all these 43 years, that's what I do. Whenever I turn to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Whatever it is, if there's some problem in the church, if there's something in our relationship with one another, I've never been disappointed. Whenever a person turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. And then I don't see that the other person has to change. I see I need to change and say, Lord, change me. I see where I need to change. The problem is we want the other person to change. Husbands and wives, they want the other person to change. But whenever a person turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Then I can see clearly. And lastly, it says that the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. But we all with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror, the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as from the Lord the Spirit. And that's what God does. He changes us from one degree of glory to another. And the next verse, unfortunate chapter division. Therefore, since we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we do not lose heart. We'll never lose heart. We are under the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Whenever I turn to the Lord, the veil is taken away. But I want to say to you, my brothers and sisters, if we are to go on as a church and not become a congregation and not become a club, we need revelation. And only the Holy Spirit can do that. The veil is removed only in Christ. The Holy Spirit reveals Jesus to us. And that is what He constantly does to us. That is what He's done in my life. And that is why our fellowship with each other becomes more and more glorious. And Lord Jesus prayed for the glory, Father, that You gave to me, I give to them, that they may be one, so that the world may believe that You have sent me. How can the world believe if we do not, if we become not agree to disagree, but become one, one spirit and one mind? That's what God seeks to do in these last days, and may God help me to be a part of that. Amen.